All right, so I just got news. Emma, you're moving. You're moving? Okay.
She's moving to Missouri.
Moving to Missouri. What's wrong with Kentucky? No. You care if we pray for you? Would you stand, please? And we're just going to ask the blessing of the Lord. Tell some of you, go back there and lay hands on Emma, right? Will you do that? Commend her to the hand of the Lord. And, you know, we love you. We love you. And don't you forget, this is your home church, right? Okay. And we just want to pray that blessing. And why don't you all do that? Okay. We'll let you all pray there. Okay. Will you do that? And just lift that up, right? Kathy, would you start that? And amen. Good. Thank you. Thank you. It's down on my list there. It's just I'm trying to, yeah, get to it, you know, here. All right. Yes, happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. We love you and we appreciate you. Yeah. And We want to thank you for all the manhood that you bring to your family, and I mean that with all my heart, not even a joke. And, you know, we just thank God for you. And I just want to say a prayer, okay? I want to say a prayer for all you fathers. A special blessing be upon you. And I want you to remember your Father who is in heaven, who loves you greatly, who loves you greatly. Okay, Father, right now, we speak a special blessing upon all of our fathers here. And Lord, I just want to pray that the Father's love be poured out, oh Lord God, upon Lord all of the fathers. That Lord God, Lord, as they've stood strong, Lord, as they sought the face of God, Lord, as they led their families as best they knew how or know how, Lord, I lift that before you now, and I thank you, Father, that you're so good and merciful and gracious, and I just pray that that love, that mercy, and that graciousness be poured out, Lord, upon every father that is here. May a special blessing rest not only from our families in appreciation, but, oh, Lord God, I ask that the Holy Spirit would just deposit that wonderful, intimate love of God in a unique and special way that would be known, experienced, and felt here today, Lord, for all of our fathers. And we give you the glory and thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, praise the name of the Lord. And so I got a rather lengthy message for you here. I'm teasing you. Well, you should have seen some of the faces out there. You know, gee whiz. Eyeballs went like that, you know. So. I'm just going to cover a few things here, and then not next Sunday, not the following Sunday, but we'll probably go back to this subject. But if you would go to Galatians chapter 5, we've been talking about the mystery of bearing fruit, and the mystery of bearing fruit. We're going to look at that again and continue to do that here. I'm not done with it, and so I have a few more messages in me with this subject, you know, but I hope there's some things that you've learned about bearing fruit for God. I hope there's some things that we've learned that, number one, as we see here in Galatians chapter 5, and starting with verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. And I really sought to make great emphasis on that, that we understand that this is the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody say, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, so that's a real important truth. And I'm just wanting you to get that, that this is a real important truth, that we understand that this is not my fruit. This is not something that God is expecting me to do for him. And that's a lot of a Christian's approach, you know, that this is an expectation of God for me to do. No, it's not. You know, and may God deliver you that from that pressure here today, that you understand that, you know, God is not expecting you to do that for him. And because this is called the fruit of the Spirit, you know, it's not my fruit. Matter of fact, the more that I come to the end of myself in my expectation of bearing these things, then the sooner that I will receive them. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, that the sooner that I come to the end of self-effort, right? Self-effort and self-discipline in doing this for God. You know, we're always going to do things for God. You know, that's really a wrong approach and even a wrong doctrinal mentality in Scripture. You know, as long as you stay in that mentality, you know, I'm going to do it for God, you're never going to find the grace and you're never going to find the power that is of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, because he's not looking for you to do for him. He's looking to do through you. That's what he's looking to do. It's him doing it. Are you understanding me? It's him doing it. And all you're doing is really making yourself available as a vessel of God. You know, that's what the whole Christian life is all about. You know, it's less of you and more of him. And we're on a pathway of the Lord of learning that. You know, God is unraveling all of that willpower, all that self-effort, all that self-discipline, and everything that goes along with that. He's unraveling it. You know, where we come, and this you may not like this term, where we come to an end of ourselves. Right? That's a pretty good thing. You know, that's what the Spirit of God's doing in you, right? And so, yeah, I mean, I have to say it, you know, the Lord allow you to become very frustrated. He will. You know, God breaks things in us so that he can bring new life within us. I'm sorry I have to tell you that, but that is the way of the Christian life. You know, that is truly the way of the cross. And the way of the cross is the way of really going forward in the Lord. You know, the Lord brings about the dying of Jesus, and that is that was all in self. He brings about the dying of Jesus so that we may have the life of Jesus. You know, we like to talk about resurrection life a lot. Boy, I do too. You know, and glory to God. It's for me. It's for you. And we walk after resurrection life. But he's going to bring you through the cross. That's how you're going to do that. You know, a lot of it's being taught in church. It's just like an add-on. We don't change. Nothing is forsaken. You know, nothing's repented of. You know, nothing is made available within my heart and of my ways. It's just like an add-on, right? I stay the same. It's just bring, you know, Lord, add something on to me. Oh, how nice that sounds. You know, then I don't have to give up me, right? And old self still stays on the throne. And, you know, and that's not the way of the Lord. You know, okay, oh, that sounds, Pastor, that sounds really terrible. Well, if you stay in self, then you have no eternal expectation in Jesus. You know, because that's what Jesus bore our sins on the cross, that we could be delivered of sin. You know, and the manifestation of sin is through our flesh. Now, you understand, from a scriptural standpoint, the flesh and the body are two different things. I'm not going to look at scripture right now, but the scriptures teach the body, all right? Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the word of the Lord, I love this, claim these promises, okay? And that is that the Lord is for the body and the body is for the Lord. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It'd be a real good scripture to go claiming for yourself in the Lord. You know, that the Lord, did you know that? Did you know the Lord not only wants your soul, but he wants your body? Huh? You know, and a lot of Christians live like, well, I give him my soul, but my body is my own. I'll do what I want. That's called self. That's the very thing that Jesus died for. All right? You know, so if you stay in self, you stay in your sins. If you stay in your sins, you have no eternal hope. I want to give up mine. Right? You know, whatever I've got to do to live for the Lord today, because I got a news for you. I got real good news for you, you know, but you need to understand life is short. Yeah, right? Life is short. I bet we could have a testimonial line right here, right, about testifying how life is short, you know. I know some of you are going to have a real hard time believing this, but it hadn't been that long ago. I was 25 years old. Yeah, it really hadn't been that long, right? You know, so, woof, man, live for Jesus and live for eternity. Do not live for today. Do not live for this world. Do not live for yourself. Because, you know, you'll wake up one day. I, where I work, I deal with people that are not in very good physical condition and things like that. And, you know, I had this gentleman, you know, I was requested to see him. And I did, and he was in a pure panic. I've seen people in panic. Boy, this man was really in panic, you know. And I'm just going to say what he said. You know, he said, oh, please pray for me. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. I'm about to die. I am about to die. You know, he had a rationale that a lot of people never, ever have until the minute they step off into eternity. Now, that's a crazy thought, but that's really true. He actually had a rationale that I'm dying. And then here's what he said. He says, I'm getting ready to pass off into eternity, and all I've ever done is neglect God. That's all I've ever done. Hunting fish. That's all I've ever done. And all I've ever done is neglected God. But glory to God, he made it. Barely. As the old term goes, by the skin of your teeth. There's a lot of people that never come to that rationale. I mean, we'll look at people and say, yeah, you know, you're not in very good physical condition, and you are getting up there in age, you know, and, you know, eternity's coming pretty fast. Did you know a lot of those people have no real reality in their heart that eternity's coming fast? And they pass away in that same mentality? That's called darkness. That is the fruit of darkness, that you cannot know where you really are in your life. And if you were to ask them and say, well, now, wait a minute now, buddy. I mean, do you think you're going to live forever? Oh, no. I'm not. That's an intellectual thing. But in their heart, they don't see themselves as passing, like maybe tomorrow. You know, they don't see it because it's called darkness. It's called deception. And if you don't have Jesus, I'm sorry, you live in darkness and you don't see the truth of real things that are around you, and you are under a deception, because all of that darkness and deception is only removed in Jesus Christ. And even then, Christians are to have the holy fear of God of being deceived. You understand being deceived? I hope you got a real holy fear of it. I hope you don't have a mentality, I'm in Jesus and I can't ever be deceived. And then you start thinking every thought you got is the thought of God. Boy, you are in a deception. Right? It's a holy fear of God. You know, that. You know, I may not have a real true perception of where I really am spiritually. Maybe it's not the way I perceive it. Notice how the Lord keeps showing you things about yourself? Right? You know, when's it going to quit showing me things about myself? You know, it's grief, which causes you to turn to Him, right? Causes you to turn to Him, cry out to God and want what is of Him and to forsake what is not of Him, you know? And when am I going to quit seeing those things? Probably after you get up there. Let's hope. Let's hope. Right? Now, the evil one wants to turn it into condemnation, right, in any way that he can. He wants to create defeat. He wants to create an attitude of defeat. It's called a war. It's a spiritual war, okay? You're in a spiritual war for your soul. And that is whether you're saved or not, right? The spiritual war doesn't stop for your soul once you've been saved, right? You know, and the evil one wants to destroy you. I'm not trying to scare you. He hates you. The evil one, he's more, and I know this is obvious, but he's more wicked than the most wicked man. Do you understand that? That the evil one is more wicked than the most evil man. He has no conscience of any kind. No remorse. No regret. He'll take a baby, as he has through history. You can see that history. He'll take a baby. He'll take anybody at wherever he can and doesn't give a second thought about it. Are you with me? That's the evil one. That's the evil one. Right? And he hates you. He hates you. Do you know he hates you because you've been made in the image of God? You are an eternal spirit. This body is not you. Do you understand this? This body is not you. You're inside this body. You are an eternal spirit. See, that's why the Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Wow. Isn't that something? Not created for men in God's original intention. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But when you pass from this earth, from this world, into the spiritual world of eternity, you're still you. You're still alive. Oh, your body may be laying in that coffin or whatever, okay? But that's not you. You are an eternal being inside of this fleshly body. And you go on through eternity. The question is, where are you going to spend eternity? Because when your body perishes, you don't. That's why it's worth any sacrifice. That's why it's worth anything. I'm going to even use the word pain. Yeah? Yeah, that's right. Pain. I'm going to use the word pain. And any pain, there's more pains than stumping my toe. Right? All right? And any pain, whatever it takes to live for Jesus all the days of your life. Because this life is short. And you're going to go off into eternity. And you better make sure that you're not walking in any kind of assumption. I'm not trusting. I was 11 when I had an incredible salvation experience in Jesus. I won't tell it to you now. I remember it well, like it was yesterday. But I'm not trusting in what happened to me at 11. Because this guy right here is not that 11-year-old boy no more. Are you understanding me? Yeah? If you're trusting in what you did when you were 11, you are walking in a deception about yourself. that will lead to ruin and destruction. That's one of those deceptions, as I said, darkness deception, that the evil one wants us to buy into. And the reason is so that we will have a false peace, a false peace, a false sense of security because of what's happened in the past. While my condition of my heart today is the business before God now. Are you with me? People turn back from God. You know that, don't you? And we're not talking about they get up in church, I have decided I'm going to leave Jesus and I'm going to down to the local bar and that's where I'm going to go. See you guys. I've never seen that. I've been in the ministry since 1978 and I have not seen that happen yet. Have you seen that happen, Kathy? I haven't seen that happen yet. It's a heart condition. Do you understand? It's a heart condition. Turning away from the Lord. You know, the Word of God says, you know, that they will say, Lord, Lord. And He will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. They're saying, Lord, Lord. Oh, Jesus is my Lord. Yeah. But now I go do what I want to do. I have no conscience about sinning whatsoever. You know, but I gave my heart when I was 11. You know, I belong to the church. I got baptized right up there. That's called deception. That's deception. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Live for Jesus today. What's the condition of your heart now? Right now. Not yesterday. Not yesterday. I'm going to close it here, but do you know a lot of people, you know, they allow the trials of life to turn their heart away from the Lord. And the reason is because they want to hold on to things that are after the flesh. Bitterness, unforgiveness, yeah. Anger, yes. Particularly even toward God, yes. Because of life's experiences. Yes. Why did the Lord let me go through that? Yeah. Right? You better be careful when you have that thought going on in your mind. You better be careful because you're being tempted to harden your heart toward God. Okay? And you understand when you harden your heart toward God, it's a little at a time. It's not an all-inclusive thing, totally, completely. And that hardened heart starts coming more and more and more because I got this anger inside of me. I got this unforgiveness. I got this question. I'm kind of, nobody wants to say it because they know better, but it doesn't matter. It's in the heart. They're kind of mad at God because God let me go through that. Why'd you let me go through that? Everybody faces that question now, okay? And there's nobody that hadn't been shocked with, ooh, I didn't see that one coming, right? I didn't see that one coming. You know, that's what we all face in our life. The Lord's got a better way. And I'm just going to read this one more time. I want you to hear all that. I'm going to close with this. It's the fruit of the Spirit. May I say, if you walk in Jesus, He'll bring these things into your life. And can I tell you what the result of these things will be by them coming into your life? You want me to tell you what the result will be? You will be happy. Let me say it one more time. You will be happy. I just lost my job. You will be happy. Things are not going the way that I thought they would go. I'm so disappointed in life. I thought it'd be better than this. But you will be happy. Well, I'm not saying that you won't be tried. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that these things, if you follow the Lord, will flourish in you. They will. They will flourish in you. And you will know happiness, completeness, contentment, and fulfillment. You will know them because it was all what Jesus did for you. I'm going to read it one more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Boy, that's sweet. I'm going to pray for us. Kathy, why don't y'all come on? I'm going to pray for us. Praise His holy name. I want you to hear that. You know, let the Spirit of the Lord